David Geislinger, thank you so much for coming into the studio and talking with us.
You're very welcome. I look forward to it.
Let's just get started. Why did you want to run for city council?
That's actually a difficult question. I read in the Gazette the Friday before the deadline was due that there was nobody from our district running. My initial reaction was how awful it is that in a district of 50,000 plus people, nobody was putting their name forward. And over the course of the next couple hours, I sort of convicted myself. Consulted with my wife, my kids, some other people, and decided to put my name in.
And what's your experience with local government thus far? Do you have any?
I was a deputy district attorney from 1986 to 1996. And since then, I have worked in numerous small private non-government agencies. But no specific experience with local government.
First of all, how would you characterize your district?
Frankly, I'm trying to familiarize myself with the district. But the district as a whole, I think, tends to be wealthier probably than much of the rest of Colorado Springs. It is newer than the rest of Colorado Springs. It is growing faster and broader than the rest of Colorado Springs, and the district is geographically bigger than most of the other districts in Colorado Springs.
And how would you describe the people who live there, those core constituencies?
My wife has been a District 20 employee, school District 20 employee for several years. Our kids, once we moved up there, were District 20 students. I think the core constituency is people who are concerned. And I think that's the best way to describe it. I think we can label people, and I think the biggest problem, frankly, in local government or large government is we tend to label people. I'm disinclined to label the district. It's 50,000 plus people, and it's unfair to characterize that group by a label. There are some that are conservative, some that are liberal. I think the majority of the people are concerned and want to do what is best for the city, for their kids, for other people. And I'm certainly not going to go into this with my eyes closed.
What do you think they're concerned about?
Well, I think they're concerned about open space. I think they're concerned about the growth. I think they're concerned about transportation. I think they're concerned about homelessness and how it affects them. I think they're concerned about homelessness and how it affects the rest of the city. I think they're concerned about how the city is going to pay for the many obligations that it has. I think the concerns are the same concerns that the rest of the city has.
And what do you think is the biggest issue facing Colorado Springs as a city?
Since I'm running unopposed, I have the luxury, I think, of characterizing the issue in a more existential approach than a quote-unquote issue. Existentially, I think Colorado Springs has an identity crisis. I think Colorado Springs tends to have been identifying itself as a homogeneous city comprised of, frankly, a much smaller population than it is of people who think alike. Colorado Springs is roughly the 40th largest city in the United States. From a city population standpoint, it is as large as Atlanta. And when you think of Atlanta, you don't think of a homogeneous city. Now, I understand the Atlanta metro area is much larger than El Paso County, but Colorado Springs is a large city. It has been a large city. But since I have lived in Colorado most of my life, I grew up in North Denver. The North Denver perception of Colorado Springs was, frankly, a small community that dealt with things locally, responded to issues, frankly, an approach I would say is a whack-a-mole. The issue arises, Colorado Springs takes a look at it from a small city perspective and whacks it down until the next issue arises.
For you, is part of acting like the 40th biggest city in the country, is part of that planning?
Planning, financing, having a steady stream of income. Now, Colorado Springs has Tabor, which other cities do not have. I think that the city leaders, the private partnerships who have a vision for the city on all sides, we have done until recently not a very good job of persuading our citizens of the need to invest in our own future. We cannot expect other people to invest in our future if the city doesn't.
So as far as responding to the challenges that Tabor presents, you would say it's more about communicating with city residents and convincing them to vote to contribute there.
I've talked to several people over the course of the last few weeks. When Mr. Dietz, Tim, told me that he was going to withdraw, and I knew that this was going to be an unopposed race, my focus shifted from campaigning to learning. And I've been contacting lots of people. One of the things that struck me, and it struck me when I looked it up too, is I knew Colorado Springs was big. I was stunned. I personally, I've lived here since 86. I was stunned at how big we are. And I've talked to reporters and people who've been here forever. They're stunned that we're as big as Atlanta. It's just part of our existential crisis. I think the people, the citizens in our city don't realize just how big we are. And with that size comes a responsibility to deal with the city as that size. We can certainly have a debate and a discussion about how big we should be, about regulating future growth, but we can't look backwards and say we got too big and so now we got to do something to have closed the door after the fact. It just doesn't work that way. And so it would be approaching the citizens, hopefully. You know, it's up to the citizens ultimately whether or not they would approve these approaches. But yes, it is to one of the issues that I'm passionate about is ensuring that the city has a steady, reliable stream of funding and financing for the future, for the long-term future, not just for the next year or 2 years, but for the next 20, 30, 40, 50 years, and that we're treating, you know, governing ourselves as a big city should govern itself.
And you mentioned that your district is one in which there's expected to be a lot of growth. So what is your vision for your district and for the city as a whole in the future? If we have this steady stream of resources, what should they go toward?
Well, I think that Colorado Springs' biggest single attraction that no other city, and that's hyperbole, that's an overstatement, but very few other cities of our size have to offer is the open space and the outdoor attractions. You look at Palmer Park itself, not the road, but the park. And when I bring my family or when I go visit, my family comes to visit me and they ask what we can go look at. And we're closer to Palmer Park than we are to Garden of the Gods. But Garden of the Gods is another great example. They're shocked that in the middle of a city, we have such wilderness. So planning needs to include enhancing and preserving that which makes Colorado Springs, Colorado Springs, which is open space. There is also a justifiable across the board pretty much desire to continue to enhance the growth of Colorado Springs as a high-tech, high manufacturing sort of hub. Which is linked to preserving Colorado Springs as Colorado Springs and Colorado Springs identity. But from an economic standpoint, to support that, which I do, We need to provide for the other people that are going to need to be here to support that. And that is we need to address low-income housing and public transportation in the long run. You can certainly check my math because math is not capable of alternate facts. But if somebody right now is making $10 an hour working 40 hours a week, which is more than minimum wage, roughly that's a $1,600 to $1,800 gross for month income. The average apartment is $1,000. After taxes, that's going to leave that person as an individual roughly $500 to $600 to survive. If that person is a parent, that doesn't even take into account public transportation, getting to and from the job. It doesn't take into account the cost of not having the infrastructure if that person has an old car that they're trying to keep up. If we bring more high-paying jobs into the city, we need to make sure that we support the people who support those high-paying jobs.
So as far as you mentioned open space and low-income housing, do you think that this last term city council fell short in approaching any of those issues?
That's a difficult question. Did they fall short in resolving those issues or solving those issues? Of course. Did they fall short in approaching it? I think that this past city council and in the last 4 to 8 years, the city government and the city has started to take some big steps towards big city governance. We've done that. These are issues that are no longer ignored. They are issues that, for the most part, are no longer an us versus them kind of mentality. And those are positive steps. Those are positive steps, even though there is a lot of dispute as to what the next step should be. There's a lot of disagreement about how to make how to resolve these issues that still go on. I mean, today we're dealing with a situation where the 10th city is being evacuated by the sheriff's office. There are issues like that where city government, you know, it's not a black and white right or wrong answer. Very often it is what is right versus what is better. More often it is what is wrong versus what is least bad. And as we continue to recover from frankly what has been a really a destructive self-image over the last 20 to 30 years, frankly, of our city. And we've seen the destruction. We've seen people not coming in. We've seen the lack of investment in infrastructure. We've seen the lack of investment in stormwater and what that has caused. We're making steps, but I would hope to continue to make those steps. And that was part of the reaction of why I reacted the way I did on that Friday when I read nobody was there. My daughter said, "What if they appoint somebody like who's been there before?" And so I thought, okay, I'm going to go ahead and run and we'll see where things go.
David Geislinger, thank you so much for coming into the studio.
You're very welcome.